Well, these aren't the most powerful upbeat words of Jesus, especially toward the end, but they are hard words. They are words that come to from Jesus with some force, and so apparently he wants us to get the point. Apparently Jesus, in his teaching about how we respond to God's faithfulness, is feeling pretty strongly about our response. And so it's our hope and our prayer today that we will not only hear the words of Jesus, but we will take to heart the message that he wants us to hear and how it is that he desires for us to live our lives. And it's our hope and prayer today that this day, whether you have come in one particular kind of state of mind or another, this day, as we leave together, God will be saying of each and every one of you, well done, good and faithful servant. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, the words from our gospel come with some great deal of force today. Apparently, you have a message you want us to hear, just as you wanted the disciples to hear that message. And what is a rightful response to your faithfulness to us? Lord, help us not to hide behind excuses. Help us not to respond like the fearful servant, but help us to respond like the faithful servants. Lord, expose any excuses or fears or hesitancies that we may have, and allow us to boldly live our lives as faithful servants, so that when we go from this place and live in what you have in store for us this coming week, it will be said of us by you, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Well, of all the words in our gospel today, the ones that I resonated with the most and certainly hoped for the most, not only for myself, but for each of us, were those words in which the master proclaims, well done, good and faithful servant, come and share your master's happiness. The word faithful seems to be a pretty important word in this text for today. To be faithful is, by definition, you can look it up, it means to be reliable, steadfast, unwavering. And the word faithful is used over and over and over again in Scripture. So what does the Bible say about faithful and faithfulness in addition to this passage that we've heard from the gospel? Well, an in-depth study of the whole of Scripture, the total context of Scripture, reveals at least four dynamics of the word faithful or faithfulness. And you have a prayer and action guide in your possession. And on the back of that prayer and action guide, there's a place for sermon notes. And if you're a note taker, that's a great place to maybe list these four. It's not required. This is a pass-fail course, so I'm not going to be checking your assignments on the day way out the door. But if it's helpful to write these down, it was helpful for me in studying the whole of Scripture to notice the context of God's faithfulness and how God desires a response to that faithfulness. The first attribute, or rather the first dynamic of faithfulness, is that faithfulness is indeed an attribute of God. God is faithful. God is unwavering. God is always steadfast. And the Scriptures over and over and over again chronicle God's faithfulness. Faithfulness is an attribute, a characteristic of God. Secondly, it is a positive characteristic that is displayed in some people. There are some people who live their lives faithfully. And the Bible talks about faithful servants and stewards over and over again. Thirdly, there are some people who do not demonstrate faithfulness, like the third servant in our gospel for today. Over and over again, there are references to those who lack the characteristic of faithfulness. And in most cases, there are some dreadful consequences. Fourthly, the fourth dynamic is that faithfulness is truly a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not something we conjure up in and of ourselves. It's something that God gives to us as a gift through the Holy Spirit. It comes to us. So the four characteristics are these. It's a dynamic, an attribute of God. God is faithful. God is always faithful. Secondly, it's a characteristic that God displays in some people, but thirdly, not in all. Some don't live faithful lives. And fourthly, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. There are scripture passages after scripture passages after scripture passages that illuminate all four of those dynamics. And I'm not going to proof text them for you or review all of them because there are literally hundreds of them, but I've got the whole list. So if you want to talk with me afterwards, I'm glad to entertain that conversation at 11 today in our 11 service. We're going to take a look, a deeper look at some of those. What I'd rather focus upon today is the dynamics of faithfulness that God lifts up for us out of this gospel text from Matthew chapter 25. The master in our gospel for today, the master, this is a parable told by Jesus about the kingdom of God. So the master, is it possible that the master is God? Is that possible? The master entrusts each servant with talents, right? Each and every servant in the parable, the story for today, everyone gets at least one talent. Are you familiar with the hymn, "All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee"? It's referencing that passage of scripture. When the hymn writer wrote that hymn, those words of Jesus inspired that phrase. The ones in the Bible passage, the servants, that are commended by the master as good and trustworthy are also the ones that Jesus speaks about in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, when he says this, "From everyone to whom much has been given will much be required. And from the one to whom much has been entrusted, even more will be demanded." Megan and Andy, you've been entrusted with the gift of a baby boy. That means that God's placing a great deal of confidence and faithfulness in you. That's a gift, a sacred trust from God, that life, that precious baby. And today you've made promises together with your godparents about faithfulness, that one of the things you're promising in response to God's promises is that you will faithfully raise this precious, precious child, Waylon, in faith. Teach him those ways to live faithfully. I can think of no more precious trust than that. But there are many other blessings that God does bring into all of our lives as well. Have you taken a look at the worldwide economy lately? Have you taken kind of a deeper look at the worldwide economy? Certainly everybody here who's gone on a mission trip, everybody here who's served at Hesed House, everybody here who's served at Feed My Starving Children, everybody here who has served at Rebuilding Together Aurora, everybody here who has served at Loaves and Fishes has come up close and personal with the worldwide economy and how blessed we are to be able to share our blessings, our talents in those ways. Has everybody here been part of one of those ministries? If not, why not? I mean, seriously, if not, why not? And if not, where do you fit in the parable for today? And when we come and bring our offerings today that support all of those ministries that do the kinds of things that are referenced in our gospel for today, if we've not been generous, where do we find ourselves in the parable for today? Where do we fit? Did you notice the consequences to the servant who was not faithful? I'll let you draw your own conclusions of where you fit in the parable. Just recently, we were challenged with some strong words and even guidelines about how we as faithful stewards might practice that, how we might live that out. What does it look like to be faithful stewards? And we know that in our faith journeys, people are in different places. We know that. And so the references were these. Maybe if you're taking notes, these are helpful reminders. If you're giving nothing, then give something. Don't keep that money hid in the ground. That's not why God blessed us with our talents, our resources, our blessings. Now, if you're giving nothing, give something. If you are giving casually, be committed. Move from casual and happenstance to committed. It's a big faith step. Or if you're giving in a scattered way with no rhyme or reason to how you're responding to God's faithfulness, then respond strategically. Come up with a plan. Obviously, the first and second servants did and benefited greatly. Or if you're giving from your comfort level, then think about sacrificial. The third servant was comfortable hiding the talent in the ground. No risk in that, right? He could return to the master what was his. And you saw the master's response. Some people have said, you know, I give my time. I don't have money to give. Did you notice in the gospel, he only expected from each according to their ability. And he only blessed each according to their ability. God only asks of us in faithful response that with which he's blessed us. He doesn't ask anymore. Only that with which he's blessed us. Faithful with what you do have, not with what you don't have. Ever thought about money as minted time and talent? It is. Money is minted time and talent. Jesus thinks of it that way. And there are 20-some parables in which Jesus specifically talks about it. You can look them up. They're in the Gospels. Lamentations in the Old Testament talks about God's faithfulness this way. Great is thy faithfulness. The Bible always addresses the subject of faithfulness by reminding us of God's faithfulness to us. God who promises never to leave us or forsake us. He will never leave us or forsake us. And the Bible tells us time and time again that God equips us to share that message with others. The message of God's faithfulness. And that faithfulness of God is chronicled through that old, wonderful hymn, Great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions. They fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, unto thee. So this past week, several of us from Good Shepherd went to a PADS event. PADS is a special ministry for homelessness. And we were able to go to this event, and we heard a dynamic speaker. His name is Marcus Engel. I didn't know before we arrived that Marcus Engel was blind. I didn't know that about him. I suppose I should have wondered why he was wearing sunglasses inside at an early morning hour. And from my vantage point, I couldn't see it, but his seeing eye dog was certainly a good clue. Anyway, Marcus Engel is blind, and he had a story to share. His story was this, that when he was in college, he and his buddies had gone to a hockey game, and on their way home, they were on their way through a traffic light intersection. They were going through on the green. It was bright green. It had been for some time, and it was all green, not yellow. It was all green. And a car coming from the other direction who had a red light never slowed down. He was in the passenger side riding shotgun. up front. Car never slowed down, crashed head on into them, just right into his side of the car. He was critically injured. His skull was crushed to the point where every bone in his skull was broken. And his eyes were, they were gone. He lost his sight. He went in and out of consciousness during that time. Unconsciousness was a gift from God, he said, because those were the moments when he felt no pain. Every moment that he was conscious, it was excruciating pain. But in those moments when he was conscious, there was one thing that happened over and over again every time he awoke from his unconsciousness. And that is that he could tell that there was someone, even as he kind of heard the doctors working around him and the medical staff, he was aware that someone was holding his hand. He could tell from the grip and the way that his hand was held that it must be a female hand. And then he heard these words. He said, the words were, "Marcus, you are in the hospital. You've been in an accident. My name is Jennifer, and I'm here. I'm here." He heard those words over and over again. "I'm here." That was comfort for him in the midst of his excruciating pain. It was the one source of comfort. None of the pain medications could dampen the excruciating pain. At least if they did, it was still excruciating. But there was comfort in that hand of Jennifer holding his and saying over and over again, "I'm here." That's what God says to us over and over and over again. No matter what situation we are in, no matter what circumstance in life, God says to us, "I am here." And he says it this way. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Those words of God are repeated throughout Scripture. It's not only Joshua 1, 5. It's multiple places where God says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." God too proclaims, "I'm here." God proclaimed that to Joshua. God proclaimed that to Moses. God proclaimed that to Abraham. God even proclaimed that to his son Jesus on the cross when his son was in excruciating pain. And God proclaimed, "I'm here. I'm here." Recently, one among us, his name is John Dunsmore, received a call to go and serve at Eliadante. He's had on his heart for quite some time. It's a gift from God. He claims it. God has been working on his heart to go and serve as a missionary, but he didn't know what that might look like. And this summer, he went to serve in Eliadante, Honduras. And while there, with our missionary serve team, our short-term team, the rest just went for a week, he felt a call to go for a longer period of time. This past month, he's been down in Eliadante, Honduras, serving as an intern, seeing whether or not he's the right match for the ministry to serve there. And they have determined that he is. And so he'll be leaving as soon as he gets the support he needs to be able to go and serve as a missionary. And he's going to be going for a one-year commitment that may blossom into a longer-term commitment. We'll see what God has in store for him. And he's going because he believes that God has said to him, "I'm here. I'm here. And I am calling you to this particular ministry. I'm here." I don't know, Andy, if you or Becky heard those words while you were serving in the military, "I'm here." I don't know if any of the rest of you heard those words from God, "I'm here." But we have a story that we want to share with you about one military veteran who truly, truly heard those words. We'd like to share it with you.
Hi, my name is Lynn Holmes. I'm the president of Calvary Pictures. When this story came to us, I was really excited to tell the story of a chaplain is very personal for me. My oldest son, about 4 years old, he decided he was going to be a Marine when he grew up. Junior year, senior year of high school, he enlisted. During the time he enlisted, my wife of 26 years, his mother, developed cancer. And over those 2 years of her struggling with that, my son was getting more and more angry with God and more angry with the world. And 30 days after she passed away, he went into Paris Island boot camp. His first deployment was 7 months. It was constant stress. They averaged about 6 firefights a day. And a lot of Chris's kills were up close and personal. And this just kept getting tighter and tighter, and this knot kept getting tighter and tighter in his body and mind. And he got a 2-month break and came home. When he came home, I was at a conference for pastors in the Southeast. And about midnight, I get a phone call. And he just kind of lost it and said, "Dad, I love you and I want to say goodbye." And I didn't quite know how to handle that. I was freaking out and crying out to God in prayer. And I remembered the American Red Cross had given me an emergency card, so I knew who to call and how to find out where he was. And I called that number, and they put me in touch with a chaplain. About 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm talking to a chaplain and I'm saying, "I don't know what frame of mind my son is in. You've got to go find him." He went through the barracks and found my son. They talked for 2 hours and had prayer. And about 3:30 in the morning then, I get a call back from my son saying, "Hey, Dad, I'm sorry. I just needed to talk with somebody who understood what I'm going through." What our chaplains do is such an important ministry in bringing back wholeness and encouragement to our military. And this, to me, is a very personal story. This movie, Indivisible, there's a wonderful theme of hope for those who have grown discouraged or even have maybe lost their faith or questioned their faith. I believe this true story is so powerful, and I'm just very excited for what God's going to do through Indivisible.
I haven't seen the movie yet, so I can't really recommend the movie. But I recommend this story because it's an I'm here story. I don't know if you know this or not, but we have Lutheran chaplains who are doing that kind of work. And your offerings support their ministry. We support that ministry and ministries like Hesed House and all the other ministries that I mentioned earlier. We support those ministries through our offerings. You see, God gives us those talents so that they can be invested in faithful ministry. Today, as you come to receive a gift from God, we know as Holy Communion, we have bowls here for your offerings. We do that instead of passing the plates today. Bring your offerings with you and do that in the way that God places on your heart. And you can put your prayer cards in those bowls as well, because those are offerings before God as well. And we cherish your prayers and the blessings of offerings that will do God's work. So how is it that God will respond to us this day? God will respond faithfully. The bigger question is, how will we respond to God's faithfulness? The Bible says this: "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." It's my hope and prayer this day that God will be able to say of each and every one of you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Today I'm calling it an audible on the hymn we're going to be singing. It's not the one printed in your bulletin. Instead, it's the one that's going to be printed on the screen. Because this gospel, this theme, begs for us to sing together, "Great is thy faithfulness." And so immediately after this prayer, we sing that song together. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Age after age, generation after generation, you are faithful. Help us to be among those servants of whom you will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness." Amen.